This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. As you no doubt heard, either Friday night or over the weekend, President George H.W. Bush passed away at the age of 94 following a very long life and a very long career in public service. Some folks will recall that President Bush gave the commencement address at Monmouth College in the year 2000. But in addition to that, a professor at Monmouth College has had an interesting relationship from time to time with President Bush as well. He is Ken McMillan, a professor of political economy and commerce at Monmouth College and a former Illinois state senator, among other things. And we're glad to have a few minutes of his time tonight. Professor McMillan, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Glad to do it.
Talk a little bit, I guess, in general about the first couple of times you met President George H.W. Bush. They were involved with, he was involved, I should say, with runs you made for Congress, correct?
Correct. When he was vice president, he came to the 17th Congressional District twice, once in 1982 and again with Barbara Bush in 1984 to campaign on my behalf when I was running for Congress. And the first time was for a breakfast rally at the old Sheraton in Moline. And because it was a breakfast, he arrived early, I arrived early, and we had about an hour of one-on-one personal time to talk. Then the second time he came with Mrs. Bush. They flew in. I met them at the airport. We rode over to the Milan Convention Center where we had an evening rally. And so I had a good half hour of time just with the two of them to talk then.
What was talking with President and Mrs. Bush like? I would imagine it had to be a pretty interesting and probably a nice conversation.
Well, this was when he was vice president, and there was a lot of very interesting and friendly, relaxed banter between the two, particularly when he came in 1984, he had an upcoming debate with Geraldine Ferraro, and Congresswoman Lynn Martin from Rockford, who was a good friend of the Bushes, she had stood in as a surrogate for Ferraro in a practice debate. And I remember Mrs. Bush commenting that, you know, she was really a mean debater when she was trying to hold Vice President Bush's feet to the fire answering some questions. And so the very relaxed banter between the two of them was very, very interesting. But in both cases, what I recall was Vice President Bush was very secure, very relaxed. He came in focused on what my challenge was in the district. He didn't want to toot his own horn. He wanted to do whatever was possible to ensure that things turned out the way we wanted them to in the election. So it was a great privilege just to be present with some good time for what I considered a first-class public servant.
You would have been running against the late Lane Evans during those two campaigns, correct?
Yes, that's right. In 1982, I had defeated Congressman Railsback in the primary when the unemployment rate was about 4% in Western Illinois. But by the election day that year, all the deer plants, all the caterpillar plants, all the harvester plants were shut down, and our economy was in shambles. And I did lose that election to Lane Evans. And then I ran against him again in 1984. So both of those were against Lane Evans.
That's what kind of went through your mind knowing that you had somebody as strong politically in your corner as at that time Vice President Bush, and you had what I guess was probably somewhat of an insurmountable task trying to defeat Lane Evans?
Well, not necessarily. I think most people would agree that in 1982 had the economy not gone to pieces. I mean, that's the year Bob Michael nearly got beat. That's the year Paul Findlay in the congressional district to the south got beat. But people were scared, understandably. And even that year and the next year, the margin was very, very close. So for the most part, the fact that Vice President Bush came in, and in fact, lots of other people, Senator Dole and his wife Liddy Dole came in, the congressman, senator from Florida, whose dad used to be the baseball commissioner, he came in. There were lots of people focusing on this district, so it was no shock, and it certainly was not disconcerting in any way to have the vice president come in. But even if it had been, he was the kind of person who was disarming and unpretentious and made it very, very easy to be in his presence and to benefit from his speech.
Was the President Bush that you saw in those times you ran for Congress, you think the authentic President Bush, the one that the public saw in both as vice president and later as president?
Yes, I believe it was. One of the ways I would sum it up was to say he was very unusual. He wasn't the kind of normal politician who might come in to campaign for somebody and push his on button and try to charm the crowd, and then once he gave his speech, pop off again. George Bush was the real deal. He was the same person on the stump. He was the same person when he met you in front of the press. He was the same person when you could sit down for an hour and have a face-to-face conversation with him. I think that's part of why today so many people are admiring the kind of vice president and president that he was.
Where do you think he will go down in history? And I'm thinking about that in terms of, I've been hearing on the radio the last couple of days how, you know, that's hindsight, I guess, being what it is, that I think people are more, I guess, positive, for lack of a better term, about Mr. Bush now than maybe they were back when he was in office.
Well, he had the highest performance and positive ratings of any president after the Persian Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that war had to be paid for afterwards. And when he broke his no new taxes commitment in order to keep the financing sound, obviously a lot of people didn't like that. But
Yeah. Even
in later years, President Clinton would agree that part of why the economy was so sound under the Clinton administration was having gotten it on the right track under George Bush's presidency. And then I think anybody who really watched the numbers know that one of the reasons that the election was lost was the third-party candidate from Texas who was running, who drew votes away from George Bush, didn't draw votes away from Clinton. And I think had he not been in the race, I firmly believe that George Bush would have been reelected.
In addition to his personality and his style, and I guess maybe to me not having, you know, much of an ego in terms of his politics and why he ran and that sort of thing, I found the story of his service in World War II just so remarkable and such a selfless, heroic type of a thing.
Well, absolutely. And I think maybe early in his career that got lots of attention. In his case, if you look at that, plus you look at the fact that he was successful in business, really starting on his own. He surely had some family money that helped him do that. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, he left the Northeast where his background was and went to Texas and succeeded there. You know, plus he'd been a congressman, plus he'd been chairman of the party, plus he'd been the director of the CIA and ambassador to the UN, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, that's a record of service that almost nobody has equaled. So I think there's every reason why people look back, when they really look back, they find a lot of positive things to say. They can always find reasons they differed with him or may have been disappointed, but on balance, the record's pretty great.
He made a point, too, I think, of not stepping into President George W. Bush's affairs when he was president. But do you think, and this is probably a softball type of a question, but do you think he was proud of his son when he was president?
I'm sure he was. And I think history will probably find a way to see that George W.'s presidencies were probably a lot more positive than maybe they're judged to be today. But I'm sure 41 was very proud of 43.
No doubt. And the fact that 41 was able to work with 42, President Clinton, after they both left office, I think was also very, very telling of the type of person he was, too.
And to President Clinton's credit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people are going to note that when the history books get written and rewritten.
All right. Ken McMillan, a professor of political economy and commerce at Monmouth College, who had the help of President George H.W. Bush a time or two. Thank you so much for your time. You have some fantastic perspective. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Business news and more coming up on Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL.